Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Over the past couple of years around Christmas, I've had an annual catch-up with Alma Jordan, the founder of AgriKids. What started as a plan to write a children's book to get out the message of just how important safety on the farm is, well, it's blossomed into an expanding and rewarding business. I've been speaking with Alma about the various developments, and not surprisingly, there's a few Donegal connections.
Yes, August 2014 is when I first became so acutely aware of the problems we were having around safety on our farms. And as it turned out to be, 2014 was the worst on record for farm accidents. We 30 fatalities that particular year, and five were children. And looking back then on my son, who was two, and you know, being a first-time mom and living on a farm, I became very, very aware that there was nothing to say that I wouldn't be affected by a farming accident. There was every likelihood, you know what, we could be unfortunately affected and impacted by a farming accident. So I very much resolved in that moment that I was going to try and be as proactive on this topic as I possibly could. And I became, I suppose, it was me who had the concerns more so than my husband. He was more kind of, you know, excited about getting the little fella down onto the farm and into the tractors and exposed to as much of it as he possibly could, where I was a little bit more reserved. And after growing up on a farm and being exposed to so much on a farm, I suppose I was quite shocked by that. But I saw the dangers and I saw what could happen, and I wanted to really start conversations on safety within the home, so that we were talking about it and we were mindful about it and becoming more instinctive about it. But I needed to educate myself, and I went looking for different resources and manuals and leaflets and anything that I could lap up on the actual topic. And I grew quite frustrated with the resources that I did find, because I felt they weren't talking to me. They were only talking to a farmer. They were quite jargonistic, if that's even a word, in their terminology. And I said, you know what, I'm the one that wants to learn. I'm the one that wants to spread the message. You know, is there something that, you know, was more appropriate for me? So I began to think about what would I want? What could I use? And back then, Eamon was a huge fan of Tractor Ted and was being really, really impacted and educated by what, you know, he was seeing in the Tractor Ted videos. And I said, why can't we have a bit of safety in something like Tractor Ted? And that was the eureka moment. I said, why don't we do something like story time, bedtime, have books that are fun, yes, and engaging, but educational on the topic of farm safety. So that's where Tales from Riverside Farm came about. Tom and Sarah and their little friend, Mr. Brambles, have tremendous adventures on the farm, but it does lead to some kind of incident happening where the children have to react, and that the story culminates in a learning outcome for the whole family. And each book will deal with either machinery, with livestock, with falling. And those themes have been carefully selected based on how and when children are affected by a farming accident. So it was the books that I initially launched nearly four years ago. And when I launched the books, I added in an activity book a few months after that. And then I introduced some pop and play and interactive kits that all complemented the series and really got the topic of farm safety coming from a ground-up fashion. You know, we knew it was trickling down, albeit slowly and not that effectively, from a top-down fashion. I wanted to bring something within to the homes to kind of get the message coming from the ground up, and also within classrooms too.
Yeah, and of course, it's great that the kids are learning things through a fun way, and they're getting the message maybe without even realizing that they're taking it on board.
Oh, absolutely! Like they are sponges, and I hear that analogy quite a lot. But they are, they love getting information, and they're natural learners. They're instinctive learners. They have no barriers. They have no issues with taking on, you know, new information, and they have definitely no qualms in sharing that information. You know, when I go into a school, the teachers all, will always say to me things like, oh, Alma, we know the kids are going home and telling mammy and daddy that teacher said this and teacher said that. And I was in a school in Enniscorthy in Wexford, and the teacher turned to me and she says, do you know what, it's not going to be teacher said this and teacher said that, it's going to be Alma said this and Alma said that. And it's really from doing the storybooks that I've been able to get into so many schools. And, you know, I've been doing quite a number of workshops since I was last talking to you. And the workshops now have reached over 25,000 children, all based on the farm safety theme. We cover so many topics within the workshops. We do everything from signage to a slurry to animal behaviours. We talk about PTOs and tractors. And it's a great way, again, of getting the message out there to our children, and creating so much more awareness, and more importantly, it's bringing in a new audience on this particular topic. For far too long, they were focusing on farmers only, but with something like what I've been doing, I'm reaching a new audience, an additional audience to complement what is already out there. So coming from the ground up, and hopefully both strategies will meet in the middle.
And they're wonderfully illustrated books, and there's a Donegal connection there.
There certainly is. In the beautiful town of Mayville, the wonderful Martin Beckett has been tremendous in creating the characters in the stories. And we've had quite a lot of fun in getting those characters together and coming up with how they're going to look and how they're going to appear and interact with each other. So Martin has been absolutely instrumental in getting the, I suppose, the tone and the feel of the storybooks. And it's really important to get that tone and feel correct, because you know you want this to appeal to our children, and you want them to get it, you want them to take it on board, and you want them to want to reread those stories again and again, and to be able to recognise the characters whenever I do visit there, a school, or if I'm at a particular event.
Now, it's not just the children who are benefiting. I dare say there's plenty of parents out there, and maybe they're sitting down with the kids reading through the books, and they'll come across things that'll make them think themselves about their everyday habits on the farm.
Absolutely. I mean, everything that I do is very real. I don't go about kind of creating obscure situations, because that isn't real life. And at the end of the day, I wanted to create scenarios and concepts and story themes that could actually happen, that people could relate to, and to really kind of bring home the message in a way that was real and relevant. And to be honest with you, if I wasn't doing that, then there's no way the books would have been as successful as they have been, and there's no way the workshops would have gone as well as they have done. Within the workshops, I bring in actual signage that we use on our farms at home. I bring in actual accessories and tools that we use. I bring in fence testers, I bring in a PTO and a guard for the PTO, and we talk about all those items and what they look like and what they do. And when I do an event at a more family friendly, it could be a different location. When I do an event for like families, etc., I do get parents coming up to me afterwards saying, "I never knew that about why a sign is blue or why a sign is a yellow and black." And you know, I never knew that about the slurry gas and what it's called and how quickly it can take a life. Or indeed, I'd no idea that the slurry gas is odourless at a certain level. So it's very important that not only are the children getting benefit from the events and from the workshops and from the content, but it is getting into families and parents also.
Now, significantly, aside from the books and early on, you developed a website, and that means that you were getting out into homes all over the country.
Yeah, definitely when the books happened and when I got into doing more library events and into more school events, I wanted to really ring fence that particular aspect of what I do, and I want to do it a little bit better. So I created agrikids.ie to include an interactive aspect for parents and teachers. And if you go into the learn more section on that page, I have whiteboard games, I have lesson plans, I have different activities that all complement the lesson plans and complement the workshops that I do. And they're basically age range from infants all the way up to a sixth class level. And it's very important that you do distinguish between those different grades on these topics, because children from the ages of 5 and 6 will have one, I suppose, idea about the whole area of farming and farm safety. But as they get older, their exposure to their exposure to a farm life is definitely intensified, and there's a far greater likelihood that those children are very active in the day-to-day running of a farm, and the content that I create has to reflect that and has to benefit them and safeguard them when they're in that situation.
Now, because of the success, you've got a lot of recognition, and I see the insurance company Zurich, they were even supporting a farm safety campaign. So it just shows how things have come on, and I suppose this has really become a major part of your life.
This was only supposed to be about me writing a few books, Chris, to be honest with you. I had no idea that I was going to hit on something that was really going to capture the imagination and I suppose give people a sense of ownership of something that they wanted more of. And it became very much a huge part of my life very quickly, and I realised it wasn't something I could just walk away from now. It wasn't a case about just putting out a few books and being on the radio and the TV and then saying, right, see ya. I had to back it up. And when the workshops within schools took off, farm safety is on the national school curriculum. It is there, but it wasn't being serviced. And I truly felt that I didn't want to be charging schools for doing a workshop. And I said there's enough money and revenue being generated from the agricultural enterprise, from the work that our farmers are doing. And I said, surely what I do is of benefit to those companies and organisations who benefit so much from farmers. So I went looking for a sponsor, and I was delighted that Zurich recognised the potential in what I was doing and recognised that by encouraging and creating better farm safety awareness, we are essentially sustaining the agricultural sector. So they've been absolutely instrumental in me. I mean, when I first approached them, I think I had done workshops for 2,500 children, and now we've reached over 25,000 children in less than the 3 years that they've taken me on. So with their input, my impact has been absolutely quadrupled. And I'm extremely grateful for them. And they give me a great platform at the Ploughing Championships every single year as well. I mean, we have a whole workshop area out the front and then an interactive zone within the actual marquee that we have. And it's been absolutely terrific, and that partnership runs until next May, and fingers crossed it'll continue to run. You know,
I'm speaking with Alma Jordan, the founder of AgriKids. Alma, you've been up to Donegal a couple of times this year, and you were in Lifford not so long ago.
I was at the beginning of October. I met with the fantastic children in Scoldreed, and then I was also in St. Columb's there in Moville as well. And I have to say, I never get tired of heading up to a Donegal. You really have an absolutely beautiful county, and it was actually the Supermax Plaza there were celebrating their first birthday, so they actually ran a fun on the farm event, and I was delighted that even though it was all about celebrating kind of farm toys and pedal tractors and all that kind of stuff, they were also including a farm safety element as well. So they had me in there doing workshops and farm safe activities throughout the day. And if anybody actually wants to buy any of the books, I know that they are in the Supermax there in Donegal. So that for me is absolutely vital, that if there is anything kind of agricultural themed, whether it's a tractor run, whether it's a family fun day, that if we could just include a little bit or an acknowledgement or a nod to better safety and the farm safety topic, we're going to see this becoming far more instinctive. It is going to trickle down. It is going to become part of the fabric within rural Ireland, that we don't have to remember to be safe, that, you know, we'll be a bit more instinctive about it. And I think that's what we need to aim to get. I think about 90% of farm accidents are preventable. So with the work that I'm doing and with the work that's going on with the various organisations and agencies, we need to start seeing a 90% decrease in farm accidents. And who knows, maybe, you know, working on a farm would become the safest place to work within Ireland, because for the last decade, a farmyard has remained the most dangerous place for anybody to work. And that, for me, just takes my breath away, because so many of us call a farm a home. and to know that we are working and living on the most dangerous workplace, that just doesn't even bear thinking about.
You have certainly embraced technology, and there's an app available that people can use
there
easily.
Is. Yeah, if you it's the app that I have, the all you have to do is search for AgriKids. It's available for Apple and Android. And earlier on this year, I took it one step further, as I think I'm at half the time, but I embraced the world of virtual reality as well. And I felt I wanted something for, we say, the slightly older children. So where I have the app, which is fantastic and encourages children to, you know, put on appropriate safety clothing to avoid certain dangers on the farm. The virtual reality platform for, we say, the 10-plus age group has children actually placed within a virtual reality farm. And they have to go around the different zones on the farm, hanging up a safety sign in each area. So that has been a great way for me to kind of encourage children to, you know, when they're in a certain area of the farm, to recognise what potential danger might be there and how to basically protect themselves and protect others if they find themselves in that particular area. So it's a very easy but fun way of getting a very important message across.
And your great work has been recognised. You have got attention, Social Entrepreneurs Ireland.
Yeah, I never heard of the word social entrepreneur before. I didn't actually know it existed. I just thought you were a charity worker, or you were an entrepreneur looking for, you know, profits and business and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of, for a long time, I've been a little bit lost in how I would actually define me and what I do. And somebody told me straight out, well, you're a social entrepreneur. And I went, well, what is that? Social entrepreneur is somebody who has recognized a social need and has a potential solution for that need. And where we do have to kind of look at profits and keep making ourselves viable and sustainable and all that kind of stuff, what really drives us is impact, creating a change, creating a long-lasting change, and making a social problem solvable in some way. So I absolutely have embraced that term, and I'm absolutely delighted to be a social entrepreneur. And I found out at the same time that the organisation Social Entrepreneurs Ireland were actually running an award scheme. And if you were lucky enough to be selected as an awardee, you got cash funding. But what you also got, and what I place tremendous value on, is you get placed on a 9-month programme to help you develop, to help you scale, to help you grow the concept that you have, to make it accessible to more and more people. And that, to me, is worth its weight in gold, because I'm still a one-woman show, and I still know that I have something that is potentially fantastic. But, you know, I'm an accidental entrepreneur as well. I have never kind of put myself out there to kind of be anything more than, you know, myself. So now I'm in a position where I have to manage, where I have to drive, where I have to plan, where I have to put strategies into place. So to have this kind of support now is absolutely fantastic, and I'm absolutely excited. I know that over, I think, 120 people applied for the program. 40 of us went through to a boot camp stage in Croke Park, where we had to pitch in front of a panel. And then from that 40, 12 were chosen for a final interview. And from the 12, 6 have made it onto this awards program. So I'm absolutely ecstatic to be on it.
And finally, Alma, the clock going against us. Just looking forward to the year ahead. No doubt you've more coming down the track, including, I believe, an appearance in a TV documentary.
Yes, my goodness. Hopefully, early 2020, some of us have been asked, in social entrepreneurs world, have been asked to take part in a documentary on RTÉ. It's a 6-part documentary, and I had a camera crew following me around for a number of days. That's a very strange and surreal experience, trying to talk to a camera about random stuff.
And that was Alma Jordan, the founder of AgriKids. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.